Hello, my name is Leon Hitchens. This is the Gadget Smart podcast where we talk about technology, gadgets, all in a bite-sized manner. Today, I want to talk about the US DOJ suing Apple for illegally creating essentially a walled garden. That walled garden has given them the ability to create a monopoly over the phone market that's harmed consumers, it's harmed developers, and rival companies. This ecosystem from the Apple Watch to Apple Pay supports a monopoly. The challenges at the core of this walled garden model comes as regulators worldwide are scrutinizing this tech giant. There's essentially five pillars here, okay, that the DOJ is claiming Apple is using as their way to suppress competitors in the market. There's one, blocking super apps. I really think that is something tied to X, Elon Musk. X has really talked about this extensively on wanting to build a super app. They've talked about payments. They've talked about messaging, phone calls, all of this stuff. In the past, Facebook has tried to do that. But in the U.S. market, Facebook kind of realized that people don't want one app. They want apps like WhatsApp that's broken out. They want Messenger that's broken out. They want Instagram broken out, Facebook. And then there's still some parts to it. And Facebook really is a super app to some extent, at least on the web, on the mobile phone. It is broken up in China and in a lot of like Southeast Asia. There's Line, there's WeChat. There's all these other apps that have really become the core OS of the phone, and there's a lot more switching in China. There's, you know, a new phone coming out, I would say, every single week. So there's a lot to that, I think, in some extent. I don't know if Americans really want a super app. I don't know if they want to go to one spot and be really aligned with just using every single thing from them, you know, tying in payments, tying in phone call and all of that. We'll you know, see. Maybe Elon will do something to that. The other one, which I think also makes a lot of sense, is suppressing cloud gaming services. Apple has suppressed cloud gaming in a lot of ways. They've also suppressed, you know, apps in general. They've had problems with Beeper. They've had problems with the founders of Basecamp, which is Hey, the Hey calendar, the Hey email app. And, you know, there's obviously stuff going on with Epic. There is some part to suppressing the streaming services. I get wanting to block, you know, what's there, but also at the same time, I also understand, like, this is Apple's ecosystem in the end. You wouldn't want to have, you know, like, for example, Microsoft isn't forced to have their games cross-platform. Yes, they agreed to buy Activision and put some of their games cross-platform, but they weren't forced to do that. They used it as a business decision in the end. The best, like, real-world example of this is if, you know, I opened a chain or a restaurant that became super popular in the world, everybody wanted to eat there, it had some secret ingredient, I wouldn't then have a duty to like sell competitors' foods and drinks, or somebody else wouldn't have the duty to be able to like sell those foods and drinks because I'm excluding them. Would I have to serve, you know, the DOJ's favorite dishes? In theory, not. You know, there is some comparison to Microsoft in, I believe, 1998. That was the big things, you know, Microsoft owned Windows, and Windows was the only reasonable operating system for any OEM. The part here that, you know, a lot of people are trying to compare Microsoft to it, you know, with Internet Explorer and Netscape, is, you know, like essentially using their ability to like own the platform to navigate people towards it. It's kind of like steering laws in terms of credit cards. You know, Costco doesn't famously accept American Express. They have deals with MasterCard and well, really it's just MasterCard and Visa. But in this case, Apple owns the hardware. Apple owns the software. They allow developers to use it at their will. They do, you know, have some very interesting opinions, and I really do think that it's hurting the brand, hurting innovation, and stopping a lot of that when they're suppressing these cloud gaming services, suppressing all of these other parts. I think those services that Apple wants to offer, like the gaming on their subscription model. They want all those services fees. They want to take a transaction total. I think it's really eroding all that goodwill that they've built up. But I think to some extent it is their own allowable part. I think this antitrust stuff, you know, at some point might make sense. They need to change the laws to maybe, you know, push some of this. But the other part of the pillars are excluding cross-platform messaging apps. You know, for example, you cannot switch your default app, allow WhatsApp to say, hey, I'm going to read these SMS messages like you can on Android. You know, Beeper, not explicitly mentioned in the lawsuit, but Beeper is kind of in a roundabout way mentioned on there. You know, they're trying to brute force their way into iMessage. But again, Beeper was exploiting a security hole to use iMessage on their application on Android. That was putting, you know, the security of iMessage at risk. It was putting what Apple has really built up and said, hey, look, we don't have a lot of spam. You can't really iMessage people with spam. This is how we prevent it. There is a way for businesses to go do it. I do think in some ways that there should be some sort of integration with, you know, WhatsApp and these other apps. It'd be really, really nice that there's some sort of like back-end interlay like SMTP on email, but also look at that on email. Like anybody can abuse it, and it is abused. The other one is diminishing the functionality of non-Apple smartwatches. I get it. I think, you know, this is a weird one to kind of like mention because the Apple Watch is a monopoly. There is no other option out there. You do have things like Whoop, Fitbit, which was purchased by Google, didn't really pan out. Fossil is stopping the sale of their Wear OS watches. So I do think to some extent Apple won, they crushed the competition, but I don't ever think they were really trying to do that in a lot of ways. You know, I guess you can look at it in that fashion if you say, hey, you couldn't like quick respond on iMessage, you couldn't quick respond on SMS if you didn't have an Apple Watch, but it was just their integration with the software. Like those are their ability to do it. It is their own software. It is their own hardware. That's the difference between a Microsoft OEM that was selling software to these developers and really forcing them to go into a very specific type of products. You know, they were trying to push people to, you know, push people away from Netscape. And that was really the harm that was caused in that lawsuit back in the day. Apple does check a lot of those boxes similar to Microsoft here. But again, the difference is they own the Apple phone. They own the Apple OS. They own everything here. Is it good for consumers? I don't totally think so. I also don't think it's great for developers here. But I don't know if they should be forced to do it in government regulation. On this Apple Watch part, I also don't think, you know, Apple Watch should have been the most, you know, pressing mention here. I think Bluetooth should have been mentioned more. Bluetooth is inherently bad. Apple AirPods are amazing. That W1 chip. There's just something with like the ability for them to like move from your Apple MacBook that I'm recording this on to your iPhone. I think, you know, mentioning some Bluetooth along the path here would have been a better mention than just saying non-Apple smartwatches. And then the final part of this lawsuit is limiting third-party digital watches. If you want to do any sort of payment on the phone, the only way is to use your Apple Wallet. You can put your credit cards in there, but Chase, you know, for example, can't have their own tap to pay. I think, you know, this is their hardware. I don't know if they have to open it up. They do have a system to do it, but also the part that they're, you know, pushing people in is to take a swipe fee. That's what they're really pushing for in the end. Also, they're using that data to, you know, kind of provide some information data layers on them. They're stopping the tracking for consumers. So in some ways, I do think, you know, limiting third-party digital wallets is helpful. Like if you gave the data to PayPal or you gave it to Chase, that's, you know, like nobody's going to be sympathetic to a big bank in the end. But it is still, you know, something that you should be able to open it up. Like I would love for my Chase app to just, you know, be able to handle tap to pay. And, you know, they've opened it up over and over, you know, through the years, but they have been slowly allowing it in each feature set update. Again, this is all kind of like pushes back to what Microsoft was doing in the past. The outcome with Microsoft was kind of interesting. Could this possibly happen to Apple after a court case? It's really tough to say. Like, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know this stuff. But they do look like they're becoming a monopoly in a lot of ways. These court cases could, run on for years, a decade plus. In the previous, cases, DOJ and Microsoft agrees to settle on some terms. Like, for example, Microsoft was kind of found to be middleware. I don't know if iOS will kind of fit that. Also, the part that I think is going to be really interesting is a lot of these judges do not understand what software is, what antitrust is, what technology is. The outcome for Microsoft and the DOJ, again, is Microsoft had to allow OEMs to pre-install any software that they want. That's essentially what happened with phones, even with Android. Like, OEMs can pre-install any software they want. That's the bad of it. That's why Apple's phones end up being so much better, because Samsung back in the day would just install everything under the sun. Same thing with LG. One of the other things is Microsoft can build middleware features into Windows, but OEMs must be able to uninstall it themselves to, offer competitors in the software. Microsoft also must release public documentation for APIs, introduced by IE. Microsoft also must not retaliate against OEMs that do things that they just don't like, within their contracts and stuff. Microsoft was banned from making exclusivity deals with OEMs and developers. Microsoft would be overseen for a committee of 10 years. Now, was that committee helpful or any of that? That's also, interesting part to be seen. But it does kind of give us a framework for what might happen. Same thing for browsers in the EU. There's choice screens that pop up. But in the end, I do feel like Apple's being very anti-competitive in a lot of ways. They're not allowing, these apps in their store. I don't know if they have to be allowed. It's just because they are such a large force in the market that I feel like it's now a portion of, the market. I think it's like close to 60% of people have iPhones in the United States. If you look at Germany, that number is maybe 30. I think Japan was actually a lot more than the United States, but it is a monopoly in these markets. Outside of that, Android is vastly, a bigger share of phones all over the world. When you look at India, when you look at China, when you look at Southeast Asia, and even, to some extent in Europe. So it's a really hard thing to say, what's going to happen. It's going to be a very long time. I think a lot of people are going to be focused on that. And that's why I actually took so long to record this episode, is I kind of wanted to see what everybody's opinions were. Eric, I'm going to butcher this last name, but Mogilenskowski, he was the original founder of Pebble. He's also the co-founder of Beeper. He's, very outspoken against, Apple, because he's trying to, hack into, quote unquote, the system that is iMessage. He's very much in the camp that it's illegal for Apple to create a walled garden. It traps users in the ecosystem. It stifles innovation of new apps and accessories. And it really, hurts consumers in the end. That's the part that I challenge a little bit, is I don't know if Apple's hurting consumers in the end. I do think that there's some developer harm and there's some anti-competitive behavior, but I don't know if it's hurting consumers. And that's really what antitrust in the past would really been about, is consumer push to that. I know some of the congressmen and women have talked about changing this, but it is a competitive market with phones. It is something that Apple has to stay on top and do it. But also, if you want to switch apps or app stores, essentially from Google to Apple, like if I wanted to switch today after I've been on iPhone since 2011, I really can't do that. I cannot take and pick up my apps and put them on to, the Google system. I couldn't do it if there was another one out there. I think in the end, Android and Apple are duopoly. They are, a powerhouse in the market, and that walled garden is a benefit in a lot of ways. Like, I really love that I can take my iPad, extend it as a screen. I can use it as a writing input. I am able to like AirDrop things effortlessly, have my AirPods sync between the phone and the watch and the Apple TV. It is a really nice thing. In the end, we will see what comes of this, but Apple's response to this is wrong on the facts and the law, saying that it could vigorously defend it against it. This lawsuit threatens who we are, Apple, and then the principles that set Apple products apart in fiercely competitive markets. You know, a lot of people look and say, like, what would Steve Jobs have thought? I do think Steve Jobs might, you know, look at the Apple that is today and not really think it's the trailblazer that it once was. It's, you know, entrenched in, you know, keeping people on the systems. It's, you know, never really figured out TVs. It never really figured out a few other parts. And even the Apple Watch, it never really figured it out. It kind of fell into being a health app in the end. But again, we're going to be looking at this over the next 10 years. Like, I really think 2035, it could probably be over by 2035, somewhere between 2032, 2035, we'll actually see an outcome. It might get appealed. It's probably going to, you know, put possibly even all the way to the Supreme Court with something so big and with a company that is so, so valuable in the United States. It's a playing force. I don't really see Apple going anywhere. Their laptops, their MacBook Pro, their MacBook Air, the MacBook Air, for example, $699. It's the M1 MacBook Air with the wedge. $699, best battery life, best laptop out there, the best screen, the best manufacturing. For that price point, if you go buy a Windows laptop, you're going to be disappointed with the trackpad. You're going to be disappointed with the keyboard. You're going to be disappointed with the processing power and the battery life. That's just, you know, Apple making a better product. Same thing on the phones. Like, if you have a Pixel, in some ways you might be disappointed with, you know, a number of different things, but if you go to the iPhone, you're relatively happy with the hardware, you're relatively happy with the OS and all of these things. So it's going to be an interesting court case. You know, again, I'm not a lawyer, but I'm going to be really interested in watching what happens and trying to look at the pundits and see how they can interpret this for somebody that's going to, you know, be watching it. And I think a lot of these developers are going to be interested in it, but they're not going to see it for, you know, about 10 years or so. I appreciate you guys listening to me kind of ramble on about what my thoughts are here. And if you want to, you know, suggest topics, tweet me at Leon Hitchens. If you want to say that I'm completely wrong here, more than welcome. I know one day I'm going to look back and be like, man, I was on the wrong side of history for this in some ways. But I do think that it's really an interesting topic. And I am seeing a lot of anti-competitive behavior, even with Google, even with Amazon. But I don't know how you break these internet-style companies up. Like, if you break Google up from search and ads, search and the rest of Google really doesn't make any money. Same thing Apple. If you know, have to like stop this anti-competitive behavior, I don't know if it's going to really benefit consumers. And I think it's going to actually cause a lot more harm. There's going to be viruses, all that stuff. It might be better for innovation, and it might be better for, you know, pricing and all that other stuff, because they're going to have to compete much better on those. But in the end, send me a tweet. My name's Leon Hitchens on Twitter. You can go to the Gadget Smart. That's gadgetsm.art. But I'm really looking forward to the next podcast, and I'll talk to everybody later.